I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
They tried my Lord.
They tried my Lord and Master.
With no one to.
With no one to defend.
Within the hall.
Within the halls of Pilate.
He stood without
a friend.
I'll be a friend
to Jesus.
My life for him
I'll spend.
I'll be a friend
to Jesus.
Until my years to all who need
a Savior,
My friend I recommend. Because he brought
salvation.
Is why I am
his friend.
I'll be a friend
to Jesus.
My life for him
I'll spend.
I'll be a friend
to Jesus.
Until my years shall end.
Thank you, men, for that sobering reminder. And thank you, my friend, for joining me today for this edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. You know, at this special season of the year, we commemorate the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord. So I invite you to stay tuned for my teaching today, Betraying the Son of Man. The worst kind of treachery is betrayal by a family member or by a friend. Julius Caesar knew such treachery. Among the conspirators who assassinated him was Marcus Junius Brutus. Caesar not only trusted this man, but he had actually favored him as a son. Roman historians tell us that at first, Caesar resisted the onslaught of his assassins, but when he saw Brutus among them with a dagger in his hand, he stopped struggling, and pulling the top part of his robe over his face, he asked the famous question, "Even you, Brutus?" Shakespeare's well-known line is still used today to express shock at the betrayal by a friend. And if you've ever experienced that kind of betrayal, you know it's heartbreaking. The one whom you thought loved and supported you turns on you in your time of greatest need. Sometimes we're deceived into thinking that we're the only ones who've experienced this kind of trauma. But you know something? It's not true. In Luke chapter 22, we come to the scenes of Jesus' betrayal and arrest. He has just concluded his agonized wrestling with drinking the cup of God's wrath against our sin. It has been a physically, spiritually, and emotionally draining experience, but Jesus is committed to doing the Father's will. And so what happens next, though it was not unexpected, it must have hurt him very deeply. Let's read about those events in Luke chapter 22 and verses 47 to 62. And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, Permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, Have you come out as against a robber, with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, This man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, Woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, You also are of them. But Peter said, Man, I am not. Then, after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, Surely this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, Man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. This text reveals to us several variations on the theme of betraying the Son of Man. And sadly, you and I will see ourselves in these variations. The first variation on betraying the Son of Man is insincere affection. Our text tells us that Judas enters the garden and he draws near to where Jesus and the 11 disciples are gathered. He's coming at the head of a large group of people, and Jesus is still urging the disciples to pray against temptation even as Judas is arriving. Now notice, the text specifically mentions Judas as one of the 12, and Luke also points this out in verse 3 of this chapter. I believe the double reference emphasizes the horror of Judas' act. First, it marks his intention to betray Jesus, and now it marks that dastardly act being carried out. Judas had a prearranged signal between him and the authorities. He began to kiss Jesus, not just once on each cheek like the typical Eastern greeting, but to kiss him profusely. Most likely, Judas wanted no mistakes about who was the target of this arrest. But Jesus confronts Judas. With a kiss, do you betray? The very act of love and friendship and mutual trust is turned into treachery by Judas. It seems to me that Jesus is making one last appeal to Judas' conscience. But you know, sadly, his conscience is seared beyond all feeling. His disillusionment and his greed have turned his heart to stone. Judas' betrayal of Jesus was a very open act. It signified a conscious choice he had made at some point, at least by the time he agreed with the religious leaders and received the payment for his services. And although we don't know all the events that brought Judas to this point of action, he was certainly conscious of the insincere affection that he was now lavishing on Jesus. But you know, what about you and me? Are we ever guilty of betraying Jesus through insincere affection? Now I know most of us would quickly deny betraying him. He's not here physically, but what about betraying those who are part of his body, the church? If you injure my body, you injure me, right? Have we ever offered someone a handshake and a smile while inside we detested them and couldn't wait to share their failures with others? What about 1 John 4:20 and 21? If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Our ability to love our brother proves the genuineness of our love for Jesus. Our insincere affection is a betrayal of all that Jesus is and all that he represents. There's a second variation, then, on betraying the Son of Man. It is the impulsive reaction. Maybe you wonder how an impulsive reaction can betray Jesus. One of the definitions of the word betray is to fail or to desert, especially in time of need. So let's think about what happened here. Luke's account is very brief. He just tells us that when the disciples saw the menacing crowd of soldiers, and when they saw what was happening, they said, "Lord, should we strike with the sword?" You have to wonder, what's the reason for the sudden boldness of these sleepy-eyed disciples who were huddling behind Jesus? John records that when Jesus asked the soldiers who they were looking for, they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And when Jesus said, "I am," the whole group fell backward to the ground. So I can imagine in that moment of confusion that perhaps the 11 were emboldened and they asked Jesus if they should strike. And then without waiting for an answer, Peter lashes out and he strikes at the first available victim. I fully believe he intended to kill the man, but he only slashed off his ear. John tells us the man's name was Malchus and that he was a servant of the high priest. So did Peter's hasty action support what Jesus had taught them? No, of course it didn't. Here was Peter, a disciple of the one who taught the way of forgiving love, even to his enemies, and he's trying to kill the one who's coming against his master. So his actions were a betrayal of the very things that Jesus had taught them in the Sermon on the Mount and on other occasions during his ministry. And Jesus rebuked him by saying these words, "Those who live by the sword will die by the sword." I'm a follower of Jesus, but I'd be embarrassed to tell you how many times my impulsive reactions have betrayed him. When I responded in anger to that rude driver on the highway, I betrayed my Lord. When I snapped at the waiter for messing up my order multiple times, I betrayed my Lord and his teaching. Maybe you have some examples of your own. Perhaps you think those things aren't as serious as what Peter did. Well, anything that hinders Jesus' message to me is a big deal. If someone rejects Christ and his message because of my impulsive reactions, I am betraying the Lord's trust in me. And I believe that's serious. But don't you just love Jesus' response? He literally asks the soldiers for permission to postpone his arrest until he can heal this injured servant. So he touches the servant's ear and he heals him. That's incredible. He's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about his purpose, to save life, not destroy it. You know, only God in his amazing grace can take our impulsive reactions and make something beautiful out of them. Now that doesn't excuse our poor choices. It just shows to us the power of God. In verses 52 and 53, Jesus confronts the religious leaders with their own cowardice. He asks why they didn't arrest him when he was teaching daily in the temple. But then, as he did earlier in the garden, he acknowledges the spiritual powers that are involved in this event. And he says, "This is your hour and the power of the darkness." You know, it's true, all these things needed to happen just the way they did in order to fulfill biblical prophecy. But the people who committed these acts of betrayal were personally responsible for their impulsive reactions. The final variation, then, on betraying the Son of Man is vehement rejection. So, Jesus is led away to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, and Peter follows him at a distance, even though Jesus had warned him not to do that. In John chapter 18 and verse 8. The disciple John knew the high priest, and so he was able to get Peter admitted by convincing the slave girl who kept the door that it was okay. But Peter's failure to watch and pray left him vulnerable to temptation. He would now proceed to fulfill Jesus' exact prediction, denying his Lord three times with increasing vehemence. When those who were admitted to the courtyard kindled a fire to warm themselves, Peter moved toward it to warm himself. And as he did that, a maid looked at him intently. She was most likely the one who had opened the door to let him in. And she said to the others around the fire, "This man was also with him." As we read, immediately Peter denied her statement, saying, "I do not know him." our English translations miss the force of Peter's denial. It was a complete denial and a disowning of Jesus. The one who pledged to go with Jesus to prison and to death denies even knowing him. What do you think Peter did after that? Do you think he stayed there by the fire? I kind of doubt it. Remember, it's nighttime, so the light of the fire exposes his identity. And I suspect after this first concentration, he went slinking toward the exit. Things were getting just too uncomfortable for him. And as he slowly makes his way toward the exit, he's confronted by another man who says, "You also are one of them." Mark's gospel records that he was confronted by another maid. And so Peter is being recognized by multiple persons as having been with Jesus. He has been exposed, and the word is getting around. Again, he's quick with a vehement denial. Now, let's imagine Peter, he's getting really uncomfortable. Where can he go to get away from these accusations? The only way is to get out of the courtyard. But in order to do that, he must get to the gate. So let's suppose he lays low for a while. About an hour later, according to our text, he's confronted by another man who is 100% positive that Peter is a Galilean and he's part of Jesus' group. And John tells us that this man was none other than a relative of Malchus. "Didn't I see you in the garden?" he asks. Surely his eyes were not betraying him. And now Peter is caught. The game seems to be up. But he responds with vehemence, "I do not know what you are saying." Matthew and Mark both record Peter cursing himself and swearing to God with oaths that he didn't know Jesus. And even as the words of the third denial are passing over his lips, the rooster crows. At this point, it's likely that Jesus was being led from Caiaphas' house to a place of overnight security. He turns and he looks at Peter. You know, I can only imagine what was in that look. Was it sorrow? Was it disappointment? Was it grief? I believe that the look Jesus gave to Peter was filled with so much love. And then Peter remembered. He remembered the words of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you know me." And Peter stumbled out of that courtyard into the darkness of the night, sobbing bitterly. He had been so confident of his ability to stand with Jesus, to protect him from harm at any cost. And now he was keenly aware of his complete failure. What a betrayal of the one he claimed to love so dearly. You know, friend, how many times have you and I done the very thing that Peter did? Oh, we talk confidently, but when we're faced with the hostility of the crowd and the fear for our own well-being, we fold just like Peter did. We close our mouths and we seek a quiet corner where nobody will notice us. We don't want to be associated with the hated Jesus. Maybe you've found yourself in a situation where those who follow Christ are being ridiculed and made fun of, and you kept quiet. You didn't want anyone in the group to know that you were a disciple of Jesus. Or maybe there was a discussion on a particular subject that would have benefited from the interjection of biblical truth. But because you weren't sure how it would be received, you stayed silent. And in so doing, you denied that you knew Jesus. You see, it's easy for you and me to look at Peter and see his failure, but it's harder to look into our own hearts and admit the same weakness. You and I don't like to face our own cowardice and our fear. But this account in Scripture is not recorded simply so we know how the events unfolded. No, these things are written for us to learn from, to understand they reflect our humanity and our attempts to be faithful in our own strength. Yes, the betrayals in this text are varied, but they all have the same roots: greed, pride, the fear of man, and many other things cause us to deny and betray our Lord. Sometimes those things are more easily recognized than others, but the temptation is always there. If we allow bitterness to creep into our lives like Judas did, we can be sure there will be an unpleasant harvest. If we're like Peter and we trust in the strength of our flesh, then we too will fail miserably. But oh, the tender love of Jesus! Peter went out and wept bitterly in repentance. Judas, condemned by his own choices, realized what he'd done. But instead of repenting, he went out and took his own life. When was the last time you or I wept over our betrayal of the Son of Man? You know, I am so thankful for Jesus' great mercy and forgiveness. So consider these variations of betraying the Son of Man: insincere affection, impulsive reaction, and vehement rejection. And then ask God to help you recognize the things that set you up for failure. He is faithful, and He will provide the strength and the wisdom you need. My friend, were you blessed by this teaching? If so, I praise God. And if you'd like to review this teaching or share it with a friend, you can get a printed transcript or a digital audio file for them. Or you can just point them to our website, heraldsofhope.org, where they can listen to the program whenever it's convenient for them. To request a copy of this teaching in either format, send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org, or call us toll-free at 866-960-0292, or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. You can have a copy of this teaching, Betraying the Son of Man, either in print or on a digital audio file. To review today's teaching or listen to previous programs, log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen at your convenience. If you'd like to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. Once again, we invite you to help support this ministry financially by donating securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. You can also mail your gift to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. We do depend on God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. And don't forget, you can request a printed transcript or a digital audio file of this teaching, Betraying the Son of Man. Now I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope as we celebrate the triumph of the resurrection. And until we meet again,
one day I came to hear, I was so thirsty. I asked for water, my throat was so dry. He gave me water that I had never dreamed of. But for this water, my Lord had to die. He said, I thirst, yet he made the rivers. He said, I thirst, yet he made the sea. I thirst, said the King of the ages. In his great thirst, he brought water to me. Now there's a river that flows as clear as crystal. It comes from God's throne above, and like a river, it wells up inside me, bringing mercy and life-giving love.
He said, I thirst, yet he made the rivers. He said, I thirst, yet he made the sea. I thirst, said the King of the ages. In his great thirst, he brought water to me. Oh, he said, I thirst, yet he made the rivers. He said, I thirst, yet he thirst, he brought water.